great example, of course. Why didn't I think of that yesterday? I always think of these things as soon as I turn the microphone off. I come up with a great thought. Of course, well, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, talking about having power, and then humbling yourself, and then considering the needs of others, lowering yourself. Peter freaked. He couldn't believe it. Oh, no, you're not washing my feet. No, I'm supposed to wash your feet. Jesus kind of like grabbed him by the shirt collar, pulled him to him, and said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Peter changed his mind at that point. He says, oh, Lord, then no longer, not only wash my feet, wash my whole body. Jesus said, pulled him by the shirt collar again, looked at him in the eye, said, no. You wash the feet, the whole body's clean. Kind of like what my dad told me about my car. My first car was a 77 Monte Carlo. My dad said, if you clean the white walls, then the whole car is clean. Never understood that because I don't understand cars or anything about cars. But now at this mature age, I think, yes, maybe he had a point there. He was tapping into the truth of Jesus. The most humble part of a car is the tires. The most humble part of the human body is the feet. And if the feet are clean, then the whole body is clean because you've taken care of the most humble part. Therefore, I'm going to think about this some more. Welcome to another edition. I'm glad the weekend has not ensued because I did not finish a point yesterday that I wanted to finish. I was speaking of the reign of the saints, and I got off on a delicious tangent there about absolute power not corrupting an immortal. That's new. That's different. We're not used to that in this world. And I say that the saints reign, the Israel saints, reign for the eons of the eons. But when it speaks of their priesthood, they only reign for the 1,000 years. And again, this is great detail and a great point of distinction in the Word of God. Because God wrote this and he's a genius. The saints of Israel are priests only for the 1,000 years. They're priests and kings. When we say reign, I want you to think of kings, okay? I don't want you to think of Spain. I want you to think of kings. So reigning has to do with kings, and priesthood has to do with intermediaries. Israel is going to teach the nations. They are going to be in the position then for the world what God was to them now. Well, God now, back in the Bible days, tried to teach Israel about him. And for that, he instituted the whole tabernacle system and the feasts and the holidays. This was God's great idea. And it was a great idea. I like it. This was God's idea to do this so that Israel could learn about him incrementally. So he teaches through examples and pictures and animals and curtains and veils and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the 1,000 years, Israel's going to take that ball and run with it. In the 1,000 years, Israel is going to be in the position that God was in for them here. Only then they are going to take the position of God and they're going to teach the nations. So the nations are going to be the ones that need educated. And Israel's going to be full-on understanding, full-on deftly handling this sanctuary set up, the temple set up. People ask me, Martin, why is God going to continue with these sacrifices? Why is the temple coming back? We're taking a giant step backwards. We already been there, done that. I get that question a lot, so I'll just answer that briefly here, is that the law has never been done perfectly. Yeah, why will the law go forth from Zion, Martin? Why the law? I thought we were done with the law. You must, again, distinguish the body of Christ from Israel. Constantly distinguish that. We don't even have law now, let alone when we're snatched away to be among the celestial. So forget law for us. Never came to us in the first place. The Ten Commandments came to Israel. Only one nation out of all the nations. So we don't even have law. But they do. But they've never done it perfectly. They've never done it perfectly. They've always failed it. And so there's nothing wrong with the law. We learned that from Paul in Romans chapter 7. The law is not sinful. I'm sinful. And the law, because sin operating in me, the law causes me to sin more. But in that day, finally, the law is going to be done perfectly. And so that's going to be nice to see. It's going to be a refreshing change of pace. And then Israel is going to be teaching the nations. Because as you know, now in the Israel system, the nations are nothing. The nations are dogs. The nations are curs. They're considered second-class citizens. That's why our evangel is so great, because our evangel takes second-class citizens and takes them to the highest place in the heavens. This is God's fun way of doing things. It's fun for him to blow people's minds and freak people out, taking people who are dogs under the Israel system and elevating them above Israel, giving them a higher calling, giving them transcendent grace, and taking away law, taking away baptism, taking away circumcision. That's a blast. It's really the least expected thing you could ever imagine. And God loves doing the least expected thing. It thrills him. So in the 1,000 years, though, again, we're still Israel. We're way up in the heavens. Okay, just put us up on the shelf for a second. We're talking about Israel here. So they are going to teach the nations. Really? Remember? Through you, God's promise to Abraham, through you and your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That hasn't happened yet, ladies and gentlemen. Not even close. Israel couldn't even figure her own crap out, okay? But now, she's not only going to have her own crap figured out, the new covenant's coming. It's going to infuse them with the Spirit of God. God's going to write his law on their hearts. It's not going to be on a stone out here where you have to attain to it. It's going to be in here. It's not outward, do this. It's inward. You won't be able to help it. This is why Jesus says, you shall be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. It was a promise. You shall be perfect. This is the day for that. Let them have their day. Please. I want Israel to have their day. I want you to want Israel to have her day. So she's going to teach the nations incessantly. They're going to go out, and it's going to be great. The nations are going to learn about God through the same tabernacle system that God used to teach Israel in this wicked eon, eon number 3. So now you see that Israel does reign for 2 eons, the eons of the eons, but they're only priests for one of those eons, namely the millennial eon. And you'll see in the unveiling 21:22 that there is no temple on the new earth in the New Jerusalem, on the new earth. There's no temple there. So that proves to you that there's no more priesthood, because God himself dwells with humanity. That's going to be warm and cozy. Mm-hmm. And the light of God fills that city. There's no need, we're going to find out, for the sun or the moon. This is a large-scale version of the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, rested between the wings of the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant in that tiny cubicle in the temple of this wicked eon. And the wicked eon was wicked, wicked, wicked. But there was one place on the earth where the glory of God settled and where God condescended to reveal himself as a warm glow. And that was the Holy of Holies. And when you went in there, you could see. But the weird thing about that was that it was surrounded by curtains, heavy, thick curtains, and the only way you could possibly see, there was no lamp in there. The lamp was in the holy place before it, the sanctuary, was that there was no human, natural light in the Holy of Holies. It was God light. And now we're taking that, take that and expand it to a whole city loaded with people. Oh, see, only one guy could go into that sacred little cubicle, the high priest, once a year, the Day of Atonement, to atone for Israel's sins. And the guy went in with fear and trembling because he had to follow the instruction booklet. And if he made one little mistake, then he was killed. Rumor has it, they tied a rope around the guy's leg so that if he dropped dead because he didn't have his hair parted on the right side, then they could pull him out without going in themselves and being smitten, struck dead. Very scary, and yet very glorious. They all wanted to line up for it. You lined up for the duty. They had different courses of priesthood. Who was the guy who could go in there? It was a great honor, and you shook like the devil and you sweat. That's why you had to wear linen. They had to wear garments that would accommodate your sweat, because you went in there and the perspiration was dripping down your face. But it was exciting. You were willing to die there because you were going into the presence of God. And it was legit, buddy. It was legit. It was legit. So, again, take that and just expand it to an entire city, and there's no longer care or worry, no longer trembling, tears, beads of perspiration forming on your forehead, because people are going to be celebrating there, and the light is going to also be the Shekinah glory, except instead of a little globe of glory between the wings of the cherubim, like the size of this, I got a glass globe here. This is probably the size of the Shekinah glory if you're looking on the laundry cam. Shekinah glory, I picture it as this big. You know, knowing the proportions of the Ark of the Covenant, having seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm thinking that the Shekinah glory was no bigger than this. All right, but now we're going to have a city that's 1,200 miles long, 1,200 miles wide, and 1,200 miles high. I'm going to confirm those figures for you when we get to that chapter. But this is a huge city that comes down, and that whole city is a freaking holy of holies. You understand what I'm saying? That whole city is an extrapolation of the little tiny cubicle that was on earth in Israel. Things get better and better. So Israel's still going to be reigning during that time, but as kings only. Thus, the great detail here in the Word of God. They will reign for the eons of the eons, yet they will only be priests for the 1,000 years. And God's Word makes a distinction there, as you would expect it to. All right, now I want to talk to you about the two millenniums. Don't panic. There aren't literally two millenniums, but there are 2,000-year periods spoken of. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Okay? Satan is bound for 1,000. Oh, remind me, I got to tell you about the resurrections. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I got to talk to you about the resurrections. Okay, back to this. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And also, the saints reign for 1,000 years. But these are like overlapping 1,000-year periods because Satan's binding, sorry about that noise in the background, somebody in the kitchen is using a magic bullet to make a fruit smoothie. I'm going to have to check in on that because I want some. Satan is bound 75 days before, my God, now there's a siren going on. What the heck's going on here? Got a bunch of turmoil going on here, but okay, we're going to stay focused. Satan is bound 75 days before the reign of the saints start. I'm not going to give you all, there's nitty-gritty details. There's 1,260 days. There's a prophecy in Daniel that covers this. It's very complicated, and this is enough to know that the reign of Satan, or the locking up of Satan, the binding of Satan happens 75 days before the former resurrection. At the former resurrection, that is when the saints begin to reign. That is when the big shots come out of their tombs, David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the disciples, to reign. And so if Satan's bound for 1,000 years and the reign of the saints is 1,000 years, but the binding of Satan begins 75 days before the reign of the saints, then we would expect that the 1,000-year binding of Satan would end 75 days before the millennium ends. And it does. This allows for Satan to deceive the nations. And by this I know that Satan will be going out to deceive the nations at the end of the millennium for 75 days because he's bound 75 days before the saints start to reign. So if the saints reign for 1,000 years and Satan is bound for 1,000 years, but there's a difference of 75 days, and at the beginning of the millennium, the 75 days starts before the reign of the saints. Therefore, the 1,000 years of Satan's binding will end 75 days before the end of the millennium. And this allows for him to be loosed and to be deceiving the nations at the end of the millennium. Did you get all that? If not, you rewind it and run it back in slow motion. You see this little bubble globe here? Yeah, this is going to be the city. This is going to be the New Jerusalem on the New Earth, except it's going to be like, this is going to be like 1,200 miles. It's just going to be ridiculous. It's not the length and the breadth of it that blows. How long is it going to take to make that freaking smoothie out there? Sorry. It doesn't blow my mind that that's how long and wide it is. That's how high it is. It's contained. This thing has a ceiling on it. I mean, can you imagine going 1,200 miles into space? I think I'll report back to you about this, but I think like the troposphere, which is one of the best spheres we got, that's way up there. That's not even close. It's like maybe 2 or 3 miles up there. 1,200 miles? All right. The 50 ounce is going to be ridiculous in its glory. And as wonderful as it is, and when I get there in Revelation 21, 22, when I get there, you're going to wish you were there. You're going to say, oh, Martin, the city's so beautiful. And we're going to look at all the stones and the precious stones and the streets and all everything. And we're going to say, oh, man, I want to be in that place. Well, you know, you can visit it if you want to, but it's going to be a step down from where we're going, because our glory exceeds that of Israel. And if you, the only way you can get a hint of our glory is if you look at this new Jerusalem on the new earth, which we're going to do. If you look at that, and then if you think how great that would be, then you have to really think that, oh my gosh, our calling, our home, and we do have a home. There are cities in the celestials. There are worlds. There are sovereignties and powers. There are great things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Then you have to think that it's just going to blow the new Jerusalem out of the water. It's hard to believe. I often tell you how frustrated I am that God has not given us any great detail about it, but He does give us great detail about the New Jerusalem. We're going to look into that, and that's helpful, because as you appreciate the detail, the glory of the New Jerusalem, then you can know that as great as that is, our glory is even greater. It's even higher. I'm not afraid to look into these things. I don't want you to be either, because for the glory set before us, we will endure this life. God has given us a picture of this glory so that we can live another day in this world. And one of these days, it's going to be our last day.